James chapter 3 is one of those chapters that's just a good checkup chapter. It's just good for us to go to from time to time and just go down through and be warned about this member, this potentially dangerous member. And so we'll read the entire chapter together. Let's all stand for the reading of God's word. Bible warnings concerning the tongue, James chapter 3. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all, and if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouth, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed by mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine fig, so can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not, lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly and sensual and devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of the righteous, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would help us as we study the Word of God, Lord. Thank you for the Bible and how it will test us, Lord, and help us. And Lord, thank you that it's that mirror that we can look into. And I pray that you'd help us, Lord, all of us, as we battle this one small member that can cause so many problems, Lord. Just I pray, dear God, that you'd, Lord, help us to have victory. With your help, please, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I want to go down and look in kind of an introduction at several things that the Bible tells us about this small member. We see, first of all, the importance of the tongue in verses 2 and verse 1 and 2. And then verse number 3 through 5, the size of the tongue of all things. And then verse 6 through 8, the danger of the tongue, the warnings there. And then the part that I think grieves all of us in our hearts, we wish we were better at, verse 9 through 12, the inconsistency of the tongue. And it's something that we can use our tongue and in the morning time be telling somebody how to be saved, and 2 hours later being saying something that should never come out of the mouth of a Christian. And we all battle that. Every single one of us, we've got to be so careful about this little member. And so let's start by looking at the importance of the tongue. Verse number 2, for in many things we offend all. Say, preacher, what does that mean? It means this, for in many things we stumble. The word offend means to stumble. And then it says all, as if it's saying all of us do. For in many things we stumble. And could everybody say amen to that? It's, you know what? We don't walk this thing perfectly. We all have times where we just think to ourselves, how in the world did I just do that? I wasn't going to do that. I thought I had learned that. I thought I was better than that. But guess what? You know what? With God's help, you know, we can do better every day, but none of us live a perfect life. And it literally means, for in many things we stumble, all of us do. But then it says this, if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and also able to bridle the whole body. And so it's almost like God says, you know what, we mess up in a lot of areas, but if there's one area that if you can focus on and get victory, it's going to help you in all areas. That's in the matter of the tongue. Because I think that the discipline, the self-discipline that it takes and the character it takes to manage the tongue, if you can master that, it will help you in mastering almost every other problem or challenge that you have in your life. So all of a sudden, God's kind of taken this thing and elevated it. Preacher, we all have a whole bunch of areas of our life that we face challenges and we tend to stumble in. Yes, but God said, you know what? Let me have you pick out this one member and let's work on this one member, because this, what you learn about controlling it will help you control every other part of your life. So all of a sudden, that heightens the importance of it. The Bible says here, if a man does not stumble or doesn't offend in his words, you know, he's a perfect man. What's that mean? He's displaying great Christian maturity and most likely will possess great Christian character. I guess I could put it this way. If you want a shortcut to all Christian character, then you know what? Try to conquer the tongue, because what you conquer there will help you in every other area of your life. Then verse 3 and 5 is kind of interesting, because God compares the size of the tongue basically to the, and shows us what a small member it is. He begins by talking about horses in verse number 3. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth. And most of you have known, seen, held a horse bit. You know, I didn't have one to bring up here, but I mean, I can easily sit there and hold it in one hand. It's not a big thing. It's not a big deal whatsoever. And then you compare that to the size of a horse. So, preacher, how big is a horse? Well, aren't you glad that we've got Wikipedia? I mean, come on, here we go. The size of horses varies by breed, but also is influenced by nutrition. Well, I guess if you feed them, they get bigger. If you don't, they get littler. I mean, this is top-notch stuff, folks. Amen. Light riding horses usually range in height from 14 to 16 feet. It's just 56 to 64 inches and can weigh from 380 to 550 kilograms. All right, I'm not reading kilograms anymore. 840 to 1,200 pounds for what they would call a light riding horse. Larger riding horses, 15.2 hands average, and they can weigh 1,100 to 1,300 pounds. Are you still picturing this little bit right here? You know. Then you have the heavier, the draft horses, 16 to 18 hands high and can weigh from 1,500 to 2,200 pounds. That's up to a ton. Just some extra information for those of you that are dying to know. I feel like Roger Young all of a sudden. The largest horse, the largest horse in recorded history was probably a Shire horse named Mammoth, who was born in 1848. He stood 21.2 hands high, and his peak weight was estimated at 3,300 pounds, 3,300 pounds. But the current record holder for the world's smallest horse is one named Thumbelina, a fully mature miniature horse affected by dwarfism. She's 17 inches tall and weighs 57 pounds. Okay. Thumbelina. Mammoth and Thumbelina. So there you go. Yeah, folks, whether it's a light riding horse between 800 and 1,200, a large riding horse 1,100 to 1,300, or a big draft horse 1,500 to 2,200, those of you that have messed with horses and ridden with horses, if you've got the right bit in the mouth, you know what? You can back that thing down and get them to do just about anything you want them to do. Now, that's what the Bible's saying. It's just a little thing here, but how it can control and affect the larger, the big, the entire animal. So we have that comparison, first of all. And then it begins to talk about ships in verse number 4. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. And of course, the size of ships today, I don't know if we can comprehend. So I went and I looked up the Mayflower, you know, that ship that brought the first settlers over. And it was they were estimated that it weighed 180 tons, 180 tons, okay, that ship weighed. But the helm that they used to navigate that ship was just 300 pounds. And I know 300 pounds may seem like a lot, but compared to 180 tons, it's a very small piece that is controlling the direction of a larger ship. And folks, what the Bible goes on to say, even so the tongue is a little member. And the average weight of an adult male tongue, man, you don't get this anywhere else, is 2.4 ounces. A female is over 6 pounds, but no, I'm kidding about that. That's not true. It just slipped out. See, I can't control it. I'm just proving to you. It's already got me in trouble again. No, this will help you ladies. An adult male tongue is 2.4 ounces. For a female, 2.1. You know, so that's sweet. That's now I weigh about 200 pounds. A 200-pound guy, and I've got a 2.4 ounce, I want to make sure I didn't give the female one, 2.4 ounce tongue, and yet how many times does it get this whole big guy in trouble? What the Bible's saying is, listen, don't underestimate the power of the tongue just because it's small. It may be a small member, but it can boast great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And I guess we could even go as far as to walk up here and hold a match and say, look how small that is. And yet we can go out west and see some of these forest fires that have consumed acres and acres and hundreds of acres and say, you know what? That's what started it. And I think one of the things God's just telling all of us, and by the way, remember when we said in verse number 2, this isn't for 1, 2, 3 people. This isn't for you to be thinking about somebody else. This is something every one of us, including pulpit and pew, we've got to watch, we've got to guard, because you know what? We can do so much good and yet just have a little bit of time where we do not manage and discipline our tongue and cause so much bad, so much hurt. And so don't, listen, it's one of those members you just don't trust. You really have to keep under the control of the Holy Spirit of God. So we've seen the importance of the tongue and trying to, how all character can be learned through the managing of that, the size of the tongue. And then in verse 6 through 8, the danger of the tongue. And I'm just going to kind of read down through here, and then I'm going to give you a short list of what it said, a summarization. But preacher, but how dangerous is this thing? Verse 6, I think the Bible says some astounding things. The tongue is a fire, world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and of bird and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed. I mean, killer whales, folks. You can go down to SeaWorld and watch them play with killer whales and train them to do things. And yet the Bible says, and is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is unruly evil, full of deadly poison. And so here we see in 6 through 8, let me just give you the short list here. I'll just go through. Fire, world of iniquity, a defiler, a destroyer, a rebel, evil, a deadly poison. You know what God's trying to do? He's saying, let me get your attention on this. This isn't a little thing. This isn't a light. Well, I'm just one of these that I just say what I think. Well, shame on you. Shame. I mean that. Shame on you. You know, we need to stop hiding behind, because these words, folks, there's life and death in the power of the tongue. And I think every one of us, we just need to ask God's help on this. You know, I don't want to hurt people. I don't want to hurt circumstances. I don't want to cause somebody to fail or cause somebody to fall. And I don't want to discourage a brother, discourage a sister. And yet, you know, every one of us would say there's times we've done all of those things, you know, just in one moment. Just the message tonight is, boy, let's just hit a reset button. Let's just be careful. Let's just look at this. Let's ask God to help us. Then I mentioned a minute ago, I think one of the most discouraging things, but it's so true, is the inconsistency of the tongue. In verse 9 through 12, therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men which are made after the similitude of God. Yeah, I mean, you know what? That's true. You know, you can stand up and pray on a Sunday morning and then get in your car and get cut off down at the intersection, and man alive. And that's the same tongue doing it. It's the same tongue doing it. The inconsistency, the Bible talks about a fountain. I said, God didn't create in nature these things. You can't go to a spring or a fountain and find one that sends forth sweet water and bitter water. I mean, it's either sending out bitter or sending out sweet. And fig trees, you know what? They bear figs. And olive trees bear olives. And vine, you don't go to the vineyard to find figs. So this just is something that seems unique to this member of our body, where there's inconsistency here, and the potential for good or the potential for evil. And, maybe you felt discouraged like I did, because in verse 8, the evaluation is, but the tongue can no man tame. Well, preacher, there it says we can't tame it. Well, we can't by ourselves. And I think that's what we all got to come to is, Lord, without your help, then this thing is going to hurt people. Without your help, my words in just a moment, it could do so much damage. Lord, I need your help in this. And I guess if there's a member of our body that we ought to maybe go to the Lord every day and just rededicate to his service and to be used in a positive way, it's our tongue, because of the potential of the danger of it, and sometimes the frustration of the inconsistency of it. So, preacher, surely this chapter doesn't just blow a trumpet and warn us about the danger, but doesn't give us help. Well, how does a wise man? Isn't it interesting then, in verse number 13, it shifts gears and says, who is wise and endued with knowledge among you? Well, that's what I want to become. That's what I want to be. And so we're going to learn some things. Preacher, how does a wise man handle this? How does he win the battle against this little teeny member? And yet it has the potential to cause so much hurt. Well, first of all, I think we need to acknowledge, and that's what I've tried to get us to do in the first few minutes, acknowledge and personalize the danger of the tongue. Acknowledge it, understand it, don't excuse it away. Acknowledge how dangerous it can be and personalize it. Again, this is one of those subjects that if we're not careful, preacher starts preaching on it, it's easy to start thinking of four or five people. We know sure have a problem with that. If we don't personalize this ourselves, then you know what? We're not going to think it's a problem we have. Oh, preacher, I hear what you're saying, but I don't really have a problem in that area. Well, I wish I could put a tape recorder on you for a week without you knowing it. Then we could just play it a week from tonight, and we could just find out whether or not you just told the truth or not. And the honest truth is nobody in here wants that. And we all at times, I mean, you know, like you said, but I think most of the time, yeah, I know, that's the problem. Most of the time we can, but it doesn't have to be very much where we don't, and we can cause so much hurt and so much damage. And so the one thing I want to do is I want to acknowledge this. This is an issue in everybody else. This is an issue in Jerry Ross. This isn't something that somebody else could do. This is something I could do. This isn't something that everybody else has a problem. This is something I have a problem with. I've got to be so careful. And I just want to agree with God. Okay, God, everything you said about the tongue is true about my tongue. I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to acknowledge that this is a danger, and I'm going to personalize that danger to me and ask God to help me to do better in this area of my life, okay? Number two, let your life speak more than your words. I'm giving you some good things here. Let your life speak more than your words. One of the things that will help all of us is Proverbs 10:19. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin, lacketh not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. And, you think about this. If the tongue is that dangerous, I think that we ought to monitor it carefully. You know, if a certain percentage of what you're going to say is probably going to be hurtful, maybe if you just lessen the percentage, the amount of words, you'd lessen the percentage. And the honest truth is, one of the things that we need to do is just monitor whether or not we really need to be speaking at all. Okay, I think sometimes every once in a while you just meet somebody, and boy, I'm going to tell you something, they love the sound of their own voice. They just love the sound of their own voice. I was with a guy the other day, and we were talking about a guy, and we both knew and had in common, and I said, you know what? I like that guy, and I wouldn't even mind every once in a while meeting him. But I said, if I run into this guy, he comes over, I better have an hour. I better have 2 hours. I mean, I almost have to be rude to get away from this guy because, and it's not anybody in our church, as a matter of fact. It's everybody's thinking, is that me? No. No, it's honestly, it's another preacher in our area. I think he's a nice guy. I don't agree with everything doctrinally, but I think he's a nice enough guy. But if he all of a sudden he says my name and I turn around, he's there. I'm like, oh no, you listen, folks. You know what? Be careful, because if we're not careful, we just run. We just love the sound of our own voice. The guy I was talking to him about, you know, mentioned his name came up because of the guy that was going to his church and stuff, and he said, yeah, he does that to me too. And he said, man, all he wants to talk about is himself. Are you listening to these things? Okay. I don't want to be that person. Okay. You know, I think what we've got to do is be careful. I'm talking about words in general. For the most part, we ought to all probably speak a little less, unless it's Bob Townsley. Everybody else ought to speak a little less. Maybe we should learn from Brother Bob. Amen. And, you know, because sometimes what we do is we talk and we've said what we need to say. You know what? Sometimes you've given them enough information, but you have more and you just kind of want to die to give that to. And the honest truth is you just shouldn't. I had this circumstance that just happened this week where I need to deal with the situation and I need to tell somebody this much information. That's all they really needed to know. But I knew about this much more. It's really hard to put a cap on it after you've given that much. Because I really just want to unload the whole truck. But you know what? This is what was needed for the conversation. This was just unnecessary and honestly hurtful. And so I found myself right at that line. You found yourself there before? I think if you'll listen to the Holy Spirit. But man, there's a part of that member just wants to keep going. And finally I said, well, and then I stopped. And I said, there's more than I can say, but it's not really necessary. That'd be a wonderful little phrase to learn. There's more that I could say, but it's not really necessary. And a lot of what we say is not necessary. Not only is it not necessary, it's kind of hurtful. And so, you know, one of the things we've just got to do is just say, all right, if I'm going to talk about a situation, we've got to converse. Folks, listen to me. There's real problems in life, and sometimes we have to talk about things in order to solve problems. But how much of the information needs to be given to solve the problem? And how much of it is potentially just creating more problems, you know, or saying things that are just unnecessary, all right? Because none of us are perfect, you know, good night, you know. I mean, we all have things that we could improve, and we all have things that honestly are true about us that's not very, you know, not very good. And so, you know, let's be careful that we just learn when to stop talking about a subject, okay? You know, sometimes we need to just talk and then say, okay, you know what, I think we've handled that. Let's move on to something else. And then one of the things that's helped me is to listen to your own words. Just start listening to yourself. Well, of course you listen to yourself when you talk. I don't think most people do. Listen to what you're saying, okay? Because this is what I've been able to find out. I can diagnose my own heart issues by listening to what I'm talking about. Now, this is a great, you know, if it's true, we can turn it around, okay? If it's true, go over to Matthew chapter 12, if you will, and save your place there in James, Matthew chapter number 12. Listen to your words and then examine your heart. Because nothing will be a good indicator of how your heart is than what your tongue is talking about. In Matthew chapter 12, we have verse number 32. Matthew chapter 12 and verse number 32. And whosoever speaketh the word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. So we're talking about the words we say here. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by its fruit. O generation of vipers, How can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance, here it is, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasures of his heart bringeth forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasures bringeth forth evil things. And I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Now think about that. Wow. For by thy words, well, think about this. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. That's pretty powerful. That's pretty powerful. And so, you know what? What I found out is if I learn to listen to myself, let's just say it for a couple, 3 days, I'm just a little surly. You know what that means? I'm just a little surly. I'm just a little short. I'm just not as kind as I should be. I'm just short with people. Well, you know what? After you are doing that for a while, something inside of you needs to start saying, okay, you know, why am I talking like this? Why am I speaking like this? Now, folks, listen, words are just leaves on the tree. It's not the root of the problem. Words, listen, the problem's really not in the tongue. The problem's in the heart that controls the tongue. So if I find myself where all of a sudden I'm become critical, you know, all of a sudden I'm critical. I'm just hypercritical. And it's just like, no matter who you bring up, I've got something bad to say about them. At some point, I've got to stop and say, oh, wait a minute. Okay, what's wrong? What's the real problem? And I'm glad we have a Holy Spirit of God. Aren't you glad we have a Holy Spirit of God? And I'm so glad. I want to be tender to him. I don't want to grieve him. I don't want to quench him. I want him to be very active in my, because he'll catch things that I'll just let myself get by with. Okay, don't leave me up here by myself. He'll catch things that I'll let myself get by with. I don't think that's that bad. And he'll say, oh, really? Oh, okay, well, I mean, you want my opinion? Well, sometimes not. But I don't want to say that because I need his opinion. And every once in a while, I'll leave a situation. He'll say, boy, that I'll tell you what, man alive, how long you been saved? You know, well, preacher, huh? Wow, that was impressive. I'm glad the Holy Spirit deals directly with me. Because, you know, a lot of times it's not even what, you know, you say, well, what I said wasn't that bad. Wait a minute. He's not worried as much about the words as he is the condition of my heart. And he'll just say, you know, and these things, when I find myself just not talking right, then I need to fix my words. No, I need to fix my heart. You really need to sit down sometimes and just say, okay, Holy Spirit, you know, I'm not doing right. What's really wrong with me? What's the real issue here? Because something can happen sometimes, folks, and you know what? Okay, whether it should have happened or shouldn't have happened, the next 20 people I talk to shouldn't be picking up the tab for it. Okay, and a lot of times what it is I didn't respond correctly to something that happened. Whether it was somebody that did something wrong, but so what? Listen, I'm not going to stand before God and answer to what other people do, but I am going to answer to how I react to what other people do. And you know what? I can let something somebody else did that maybe was wrong is even sinful create a series of things that I do that's sinful. Well, I'm sorry, but I don't get to go back and blame them for it. Okay? How I reacted is still on me. And so sometimes, you know, you're going to have bad things happen. I mean, you can have something happen right off the bat at the beginning of the day, and if you're not careful, it just puts you in a sour mood. And everybody, you know, the poor person that has to wait at you at the grocery store, everybody's paying for the fact that we didn't react. And so, all right, how long are you going to let that go? And I think sometimes the Holy Spirit brings us up short, and this is good for us. And he certainly does it to this preacher, okay, and says, you know what, you know, your tongue should be telling you something right now because your heart's not right. And sometimes, folks, we all just need to shut everything down and just, okay, park the car, pull off the side of the road, go in the other room, do whatever you need to do, and just say, Lord, you know what? You know, first of all, I need to have a forgiving spirit and an understanding spirit because, you know what, I'm certainly not perfect. And whether or not this thing should have happened or not doesn't give me a right to take it out on everybody else. So help me, Lord, to get my heart clean, my heart pure before you. And, Lord, I want my tongue the rest of this day to be a blessing to people instead of you know, taking it out on everybody. And so just listen to yourself. You've got to start listening to yourself. You start managing yourself. Watch this. You can't spend the rest of your life blaming you taking stuff out on everybody else on something else that happened. At some point, you've got to deal with that. Well, but it was bad. Okay, you've got to start learning how to handle bad things better. Bad things are going to happen almost every day of your life. Okay, so that give you a God-given permission slip to take it. Now stop. Okay, so a lot of things I've got to learn to deal with, and I want to deal with it in the moment. Okay, if something happens and it shouldn't happen and somebody, you know, I'll try to resolve it with that person. Sometimes they won't resolve it. But if I'm not careful, I'll walk away and I've got to stop then. I'd much rather stop then and say, Lord, you know, if there's something I need to fix, help me to fix it. If there's something I can't fix, let me let it go and offer forgiveness, because I got to keep my heart right. Because if my heart's not right, you know, okay, you think you got a fever, you stick the thermometer in, you look and check. It tells you if you're off. You listen to your words as your thermometer. You know, it's what will tell you what's good. Now, here's a couple things that will help us on this in this portion of Scripture. But, all right, number one, acknowledge, personalize the danger of the tongue. Number two, let your life speak more often than your words. Listen to your words, then examine your heart. But number four, remember that we will give account for our words at the judgment seat. Now, we're there in Matthew. A good man out of the good treasure bringeth forth good things. An evil man, verse 35, out of the evil treasure bringeth evil things. Boy, you talk about convicting. Verse 36, do you think this is true, or do you think this just was thrown in there to scare us? You think it's true? But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Well, that ought to make us just kind of slow down. Slow down, okay? And just say, you know what, is this something I should be speaking about? Is this really something I should be discussing? Is this really something I should be saying? And it's tough. It's tough because, like I said, folks, sometimes we start talking about something because we legitimately have to deal with an issue or a problem, or we're trying to resolve something. But it's knowing where to stop. And you know what? Just learn to, if you're going to err, always err on the side of grace. I think that's what the Bible says, that our speech ought to be seasoned with salt, seasoned with grace. And just, you know what, just that's a good challenge for us. The rest of this week, as we talk about things, see if we can identify where the stopping point needs to be. Sometimes that stopping point needs to be found when you find that you're frustrated and aggravated, okay? Because I know when the temperature's going up in Jerry Ross, and you know when it's going up in you. And that's a real good time to shut this thing down. It's a real good time just to, well, I know, but I'm upset, and I know. And so how far are you going to go before you need to turn the switch off? And the best thing to do sometimes is just, okay, it's time to take a walk. All right, I'll tell you what, let's talk about it later, and it's time to take a walk, okay? Because we're just all made out of the same stuff, okay? We are. But how about this verse 37? For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Now let's go back over to James chapter 3, and I want to just give you a couple closing comments. All of a sudden, we've been talking about the tongue. He talks about the wise man who's endued with knowledge among you. Verse 13, let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Wisdom and meekness always go together. And let's set that as the goal. Let's show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom, meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, lie not against the truth. Now, don't glory in it, okay? If you have bitterness, let me tell you the things the Bible's going to identify them, that if we have them consistently in our heart and we don't deal with them, they're going to affect a lot of things that come out. Okay, bitterness is a big one. Oh, it's a big one. It's a big one. It's a big one. I mean, folks, bitterness is one of those silent killers. It's just something that once it gets into the heart of a person, if you know, it'll absolutely kill you, eat you from the inside out. And I promise you, you got bitterness in your heart, it's going to start affecting all of your relationships, because everything you just say to somebody, it's going to be poisoned with that bitterness. It is so hard to filter bitterness out of your words. And so, man, I, and again, I hurt because I know people's circumstances. I know their lives. I know some of the things people have gone through. I know how unfair sometimes things are. I know things that we don't get, we don't understand, how hard it is to be able to, like we talked about, just cast them to the Lord and really let them go, you know. I mean, it's easy to preach, it's hard to live. But man, just always be very careful and really watch in your life this matter of bitterness. Bitterness, envying, and strife. Notice how that bitter, envying, and strife, how that all ties together. The Bible says this, lie not against the truth. In other words, don't sit there and say you're not bitter when you're bitter. Hardest person in the world to find, well, I'm not bitter. Well, I know, it's obvious you're not. Come on. You know, if we are, then let's deal with it. You know, I mean, yeah, but this happened. Okay. Can it be fixed? Well, I don't think so. So you're just going to be mad the rest of your life? You know, you're just going to, that's going to be the poison. That's just going to affect. Not worth it. You know, honestly, some things you just got to let it go. Just got to give it to God and say, you know what? Okay, whatever. God bless them. I'm moving on. You know, I'm just not going to give anybody that power in my life. Let me say it again. I'm not going to give anybody that kind of power in my life. Because if you know, you're mad at that person and yet you every day let them control you. It don't even make sense to me. But I've done it, but it still don't make sense. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. And then here we go again. Where envy and strife is, there's confusion, every evil work. And a lot of the things that we shouldn't say that comes out of our mouth is because we're either bitter at somebody, we're envious of somebody, or we have unresolved strife with somebody. And because of that, every time we get near those subjects, here comes the salt water instead of the fresh water. Okay? Here comes the poison instead of the medicine. And then God helps us in verse 17 and 18. He said, but wisdom that is from above is first what? These are the things we've got to work in our heart. You know, this is just a good list to go down through. Lord, we talked about examining the heart. If our words aren't right, we got to look at our heart. Is my heart pure? Is it pure before you, God? Is it pure with other people? And if it's not, let's get it pure. God, you can help me with that. Is it peaceable? And actively go through this list. Lord, am I being gentle or am I running around life being a bulldozer running over people? Okay. Am I easy to be entreated? I mean, can somebody come to me and entreat me and talk to me about something and me not go, you know? Okay. Am I full of mercy, good fruits? How about this one? Without partiality, am I fair? Okay. Am I without hypocrisy? And you know what this verse does? It's like God says, listen, we've been talking about the tongue, but come on, let's get down to what the real problem is. And let's go through this list and let's just make sure that we keep our hearts clean. And then, because remember the verse, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And so if I've been noticing, man, all of a sudden, I'm not speaking consistently like a Christian ought to speak, then it's time for me to go to this end of this chapter and say, okay, let me put my heart under the microscope. Let me really x-ray this thing. Let me really look at this thing. And let's find out what the real problem is. How about, I don't know about you, but I like just fixing things. I want to solve a problem. I don't want to have a problem. I want to solve a problem. Okay, boy, I mean that. I'm not convinced that everybody's like that. Okay, I don't understand people that just enjoy problems. They protect them. They won't let you fix them. They won't let you get near them because that's their identity, is that I have all these. Man, that's a miserable lie. If there's a problem, then let's fix it. But preacher, there's some things you can't fix. Look at me. You're right. There's some things you can't fix. You got to give them to God. You got to let him go. You just got to trust him that, you know what? This is beyond me. This is beyond my control. So Lord, guess what? I can't do this. I can't walk around with this. Okay, it's starting to poison me. So this is yours. Well, I don't know of anything else I could do to fix this. I don't know. So here, And then you know what? Let's wake up tomorrow with a good heart, a clean heart. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. And so what is this? Oh, yearly checkup. I'm getting ready to go see the doctor, and I am, and get my checkup. But you know what? Aren't you glad that you can go to the Word of God, and God can start at the top of your head and go to the bottom of your feet? And there's pretty much the Bible has something to say about everything. But it's almost like tonight he said, listen, you know, you ever go to a doctor, and the first thing he wants you to do is stick out your tongue? Got the little, you know, popsicle stick, you know, that you hope was clean. And first, stick out your tongue. Why? Well, maybe he's checking something. Maybe God just comes to us tonight and says, all right, let's do a checkup. Stick out your tongue. How you doing? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that, Lord, that you'll help us. We have a great opportunity, Lord, to be such a blessing, and yet, Lord, we all fight this. This is a common enemy, a common problem, and Lord, nothing that all of us doesn't deal with from time to time, and so help us, Lord, to be better in this. The Bible says no man can tame it, so that means it's going to force us to go to you, and so I pray, Lord, that you would help us. Dear God, you are that great physician. You can help us. Help us with our words. Help us with our heart. And Lord, I pray, dear Lord, that you'd help us, dear God, in the weeks and days to come to just really be conscious of these things in our life and to make sure, Lord, that we're fully surrendered to you, that we present our bodies a living sacrifice. And Lord, part of our body is our tongue, so may we present that to you every day, to be used for your good, your glory. And Lord, so much good can be done. So much good can be done. But the Bible's true. We accept it. We acknowledge it. We personalize it. So much evil can happen, Lord, out of the same member. So I pray that you'd give us good help, we pray in Jesus' name.